Welcome, listeners, to the third season of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and your podcast host. Tune in and join me as I chat with authors writing cozy and traditional mysteries. You won't find explicit violence, sex, or gore. You will find intricate plots, engaging characters, and brilliant writing. Thanks for listening. Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. Joining me in the corner today is Linda Lovely, author of Bones to Pick. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you.
Bones to Pick is a Bree Hooker mystery. Tell us about Bree and what she's up to.
Well, Bree is a vegan, and she is living with her aunt, who is a dedicated carnivore, and living on a goat farm where they make cheese and all kinds of dairy products that Bree can't eat. But she loves her aunt, and her aunt loves her, and they get along despite their disputes over dinner.
And imagine the disputes you'd have. Your acknowledgement section in Bones to Pick is fascinating, and it shows the depth of the research you did for this novel. You mentioned two farms, Split Creek Farm in South Carolina and Morning Glow Farm in Wisconsin. So did you get to visit those farms?
Well, Split Creek is just a couple of miles away. Well, a little more than a couple of miles, but maybe 15 minutes from my house. So, yes, I have spent a number of afternoons there. Including two sessions of goat yoga, which was very interesting. I am not a yoga person, and there wasn't really a lot of yoga involved in goat yoga. But it was a lot of fun. The baby goats were out, and I've gone through, I sat through one of the programs that Split Creek had for veterinary tech students too. So I got to learn all about the different breeds that they had and how they care for the animals and a lot of that research. The farm in Wisconsin is owned by a couple that the woman, it's actually a couple of veterinarians, but the woman was my sister's college roommate. So we've stayed in touch over the years and have always enjoyed her pictures of goats and talking about their lives. So
did you also learn about cheese making?
Yes, I did. I went through the process there and watched them everything through milking the goats to making the cheese. So quite an operation.
Wow. Hope you got to eat some samples.
Oh, yeah.
And you also learned about moonshine.
Yes. It was on the drive towards Split Creek Goat Farm. There was a moonshine distillery. And it was an inspiration for a part of the book because they had goats up on their roof. This was the way that they attracted people that were driving by on the highway. And so I had to stop in there and chat with them and then, of course, sample the products there as well. And bought some. A lot of their flavored moonshine is quite tasty, but it is powerful. So they did teach me how to drink moonshine, which you have to take in your mouth, and then you're not supposed to open your mouth when you swallow it because it's the air that makes it more fiery. So zip your lips and swallow.
Okay.
In case you ever need to taste moonshine.
I'll make a great t-shirt. You also give credit to your family physician and to an EMT. So why was it important to you to get the medical details in the book right?
Well, I always try with my research to make sure that it's accurate. And the EMT is a friend of mine that actually a great guy that had been an executive at a large corporation and retired and got bored and became one of the oldest, I think the oldest person in South Carolina to graduate from the EMT program.
Wow.
So, and he's still doing it. So, but it was fun to learn what responses there were and to make sure that I had the details right. I actually have a lot of the fun that I have writing books is doing the research for them. It lets you do a lot of things that you might not otherwise do. So, and ask a lot of questions. I've always been curious about a number of things. And if you're writing a book, you have at least a reason to be nosy. So
true. And was researching pedicurist fun?
Well, I still have never had a pedicure. So, yeah, I asked one of my friends that is a devotee to give me the details, and she actually did send me some things to walk around in so I would have the experience of having my toes separated and trying to walk around.
Not easy.
No.
Now, your story is set in the Carolina foothills. Now, a lot of people may not realize that a state as relatively small as South Carolina has distinct regions. So how do the foothills differ from, say, the Lowcountry or the Midlands?
Well, we're very close to the mountains. You can, I live on a lake in the upstate, and when you go out in the lake, you can see the mountains clearly. Very rolling hills. If you're a walker or jogger, our neighborhood is a very challenging place to do it because it's very hilly. And there's a lot of woods. We're not nearly as populated as other parts of the state. Greenville is an exception. Greenville is the largest city near here. Again, very lush country and lots of in the foothills and the mountains nearby, lots of trails and waterfalls and lakes.
And I do have to tell you, I went to the University of South Carolina, so I can't comment on your Clemson references.
Well, I have a great niece and a great nephew that are at Carolina, so
go Cox.
Right.
So did having a vegan character in a foodie cozy set in a barbecue soaked state create any challenges for you?
Well, that was part of the conflict and that was part of the fun. My husband and I did try going vegan for about 2 years, and at our Dr. Quattlebaum's urging, saying that it would help us with cholesterol. He's a dedicated vegan. And we tried it, but eventually we couldn't give up cheese. I think we could make everything else. We still aren't eating red meat, but we have gone back to chicken. And as I said, cheese was the main thing that we just had a really hard time giving up. So, and we found that also, you know, it hadn't changed our cholesterol or any of the things that much. So, but we try to be reasonable.
So we think
and
moderation.
It's mostly plant-based still, but more vegetarian oriented and with the addition of chicken and fish than, but I still have a lot of vegan recipes that, you know, we have often. So it was a good experiment, and but when we started doing vegan, we got a lot of lip, I guess I would say, from relatives who did not understand. And so that was part of the motivation for the character, was knowing that somebody that's trying to be vegan with a family that is carnivores is going to take a lot of verbal abuse.
And what recipe would you suggest to convince a carnivore that vegan meals aren't as bad as we think they are?
Well, I recently, there was a friend in the neighborhood who had a death in the family, and a number of her relatives were vegan. So I fixed a vegan dinner for them. And I started with a spinach and a strawberry salad, and then tomato basil soup, and a vegan meatloaf that was made with three kinds of beans and ground up walnuts and onions, peppers, celery, and it's very good.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah.
Hey, Linda, are you still there?
Yeah, sure I am.
Oh, sorry, I thought the sound cut out for just a minute. So, how much fun did you have making Bree's father an aspiring mystery author and president of the local chapter of Sisters in Crime?
One of my critique partners, Howard Lewis, was the inspiration for that. Howard, I was president of our local chapter for 5 years, and Howard was president of our local chapter for 5 years, so it wasn't much of a stretch. So yeah, it was fun that I could use some of the material that and thoughts that go through a mystery writer's head when you're out in the country and going about and you know, see things like the kudzu that grows in places here, and saying, gee, that would be a great place to hide a body. So that was part of the fun, was doing that.
Now, Bones to Pick is the first Bree Hooker mystery. What can you tell us about the other titles in the series?
Picked Off is the next, and it incorporates in the plot information about rivalries in football, and we have some nasty how should I describe them? anyway, there are of course some good villains in it, and all locally grown, not outsiders, but a definite culture clash between some of the people that have lived in the area for a long time and are not keen about having people come in from the outside. So that was part of the plot. And then Bad Pick is the third in the series. And I actually started writing that long before there was any controversy about Supreme Court nominees. And but that is one of the themes in the book, that a good family friend of Bree and her aunt comes and is trying to decide what to do about letting the public know the history of a man that she does not think should be on the Supreme Court, and balancing that with trying to keep secret some things that would hurt other people. So that was part of that. And also there was in that one a religious fringe group that thought that goat yoga was devil worship. And I actually came across that because I was looking at on Google to see what other parts of the country where they have goat yoga, if they were doing things differently than what was being done at Split Creek. And I found these remarks from someone who was visiting the site, thinking that it was devil worship.
Oh, wow. Someone really thought that.
And I said, wow. So I had, I couldn't resist incorporating that too. But luckily, there aren't many people that think that goat yoga is devil worship.
Well, hopefully no one listening thinks that, but just in case anyone listening is not sure what is goat yoga?
Basically, the philosophy is that you do yoga outdoors and you're in the midst of a setting that is very peaceful and has goats in it. And in the spring when they do it, they're all of the little baby goats, and you're watching them play while your yoga instructor is telling you what to do. But while it is refreshing and interesting, I've got to say that it's not totally relaxing because the larger goats tend to view your clothing as food.
Oh,
So I've got a picture on my website of one of them. I was laughing like crazy because there was one that was nibbling on my shirt in the back, while another one was like untying my shoe while I was trying to do whatever yoga pose it was. And then the baby goats really didn't pay you much attention. They were just jumping all over. But again, it was just more a theme of being one with nature, I guess. So, but there was no worship involved.
Yes, so it's fun with goats, but it's not evil.
Right.
Right. And speaking of fun, where can readers buy a copy of Bones to Pick?
I think that basically Henry Press has them available on all of the various sites. So there, it's available in hardcover, in softcover, and on all of the popular e-formats from Amazon to Barnes and Noble, et cetera. So pretty easy. Just go online and put in the title. And bookstores. Unfortunately, a number of bookstores have had trouble lately, and not in terms of the book, but in terms of welcoming customers. So I always try to remind people to please, when possible, visit your independent bookstore if you would like a hard copy or a soft copy.
Yes, and lots of bookstores will send things by mail, and
That's right.
bookshop.org, I believe, will help you find some independent bookstores.
That's right.
And where can readers connect with you?
I do have a Twitter account, but I've got to admit I don't use it very often. But I am on Facebook, and I also have a website that has a contact me section. And I answer Facebook and the website requests as expeditiously as possible. So they can always contact me through those. And I
And
would urge people to consider joining some of the writer groups that I belong to. And I think all of the authors in those groups are outgoing and willing to help and communicate with readers. That includes Sisters in Crime, which I've been a member of for probably 2 decades, and all of the various groups within Sisters in Crime that have online sites and people can contact and interact with readers or with authors on those too.
Yes, I definitely recommend Sisters in Crime as an excellent resource for finding some quality mysteries. And can you just tell us again what the URL of your website is?
It's lindalovely.com.
And are you also Linda Lovely on Facebook?
Linda Lovely author. I've got a personal account and the author account.
Okay, so Linda Lovely author. Wonderful. Right. Well, thank you for joining me in the corner today, Linda.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
I did too. And thank you for explaining goat yoga.
You going to try it?
No, I'm really not. I might try the vegan meatloaf though.
Okay. I'll let you have a recipe.
Okay. My guest today has been Linda Lovely, author of Bones to Pick, the first Bree Hooker mystery. I'm Alexia Gordon, your host. You've been listening to The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Until next time, goodbye.
Listeners, I launched a Patreon page. I want to give a big thank you shout out to my first two patrons. Thank you, Shakura Amatullah and Vicky Browning, for your support. And thanks for listening. Thanks, listeners, for joining me for another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating or review wherever you listened. Follow the podcast on social media. I'm on Facebook as The Cozy Corner Podcast and Twitter and Instagram as podcast_cozy. Now you can support me on Patreon. Become a patron for as little as $3 a month and get a shout out on an episode of The Cozy Corner. Support at higher levels gains access to patron-only posts, thank you gifts, and giveaways. Sign up at www.patreon.com/authoralexiagordon. Thank you for your support, and thanks for listening. Until next time, goodbye.